The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 2nd, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on an overcast, rainy, chilly day in the Auburn Opelika area, starting to feel like December. You thought I was going to say Christmas, didn't you? No, it's feeling like December around here in Auburn, Alabama. We appreciate you being with us, and we got a fun show for you today as we are both preparing to call some more high school basketball tonight. We'll talk about that. Plus, of course, more reactions and thoughts on Auburn football, hiring Alex Golish now that it's been over a full day, right? You've had some time to sit on it a little bit and figure it out and change your mind one way or the other, or maybe you feel the same or better or worse, or whatever the case may be. So we'll talk about that today, plus some other crazy things going on around the world of college football. But Kristen, how are you, sir? Happy Tuesday to you.
Happy Tuesday. Yeah, a rainy night last night, but excited to be able to call a little bit more Lee Scott Academy basketball. It feels like it's been forever since I've called a true game,
because
the last one was the Crosstown Showdown that we did, which we'll talk a little bit more about, because version two of that is coming up here this Friday. And so, again, we'll let everybody know a little bit more about that information, but we had a blast doing that. But, man, you have to go all the way back to Childersburg for the last time that I called a Lee Scott game, and I get my first game here at home tonight with the girls and the boys taking on the 5A Valley Rams. And so should be another really good early season test. They're coming back from their tournaments in Montgomery, where both did relatively well. The girls didn't start as hot, but they ended on a two-game win streak, and so hoping to carry that momentum into tonight. But we'll talk a little bit more about that here throughout the show, and then again about Auburn and Lee Scott in the Crosstown Showdown Part 2 later on this week. But, man, we have a fantastic show set up for you once again here today. We're not necessarily starting off with more Alex Golish news, but instead throughout the entire world of college football, as you feel like there are double-digit teams that have welcomed in a new coach, and a lot of those happened on Sunday. And so we get to talk about all of those new names, the new faces, or the same faces in new colors, and all the drama that has gone into all of that over the past couple of days. We'll also take a look at the Auburn 2026 football schedule, not necessarily times, not necessarily in order, but just based off of those new coaches. Who is going to be going where, and how many of them are coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium? A fun conversation that we wanted to have a little bit yesterday, but we realized we wanted to have a little bit more time for that here today. And we'll talk a little bit about the transfer portal, because, again, with the no spring signing or no spring portal, there's only the two-week portal now that starts on January 2nd, and it puts Alex Golish, it puts all of these new coaches in a little bit of a weird predicament, simply because you don't have that spring portal now where you go through your winter workouts and realize, okay, we still need these extra couple of pieces that we need to go attack in the spring. You don't have that, and so you feel like it needs to be a little bit more of a home run. You could see these coaches attack it a little bit stronger in the winter portal. We'll talk about that, talk about some players, and talk about some rumblings that we've heard on the player side of things as well. All of that coming up here in hour number one.
Yeah, and no scheduled guests today, so phone lines are open for for the entire show. Text box is always open. If you want to be a part of the show, give us your thoughts, your comments, your questions, anything that's on your mind. We'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390. Again, that phone number, 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in our on-the-line text box. That's our own show text box, okay, at 334-784-1067. So, again, no scheduled guests today, so wide open for you to be a part of the show. And we are going to talk more Alex Golish and more Auburn things and news and whether DJ Durkin is staying or going and the players and recruiting and things like that. But my goodness, the Alex Golish news was right in the middle of pure and total chaos across college football. It has been a season like no other, okay? It's also been a, I guess, offseason like no other, but the offseason's only been here for less than 72 hours, technically. But it's been a coaching carousel like we've never seen. Literally historic on the amount of P4 coaches who have either been fired or left for different jobs. And we have a list here, at least of the ones we have seen and heard of. I mean, there are over double-digit coaches on this list that have taken new jobs.
And this is only the list of the teams that, yeah, the coaches that have gone elsewhere, not their replacements.
Correct, yeah. And just in a couple of big places who have yet to hire a head coach, right? And look, it started way back in the beginning of the season, right, with teams like UCLA and Oklahoma State and Oregon State who decided to fire their head coaches. Then Arkansas decided to do it. Then Penn State decided to do it. Then Auburn decided to do it. And Florida and all these other teams who decided, you know what? We're done with the coach that's in place. We are moving on. And then you had some places do it at the end of the season like you're supposed to do for the most part. Kentucky, Michigan State, places like that that waited until the end to fire their head coach. I think I said Kentucky if I didn't. Kentucky and Michigan State. Places like that who waited till the end to do it, which is questionable, but it is what it is. But man, the coaches who have replaced other coaches or left to go somewhere else has been fascinating to see.
It's crazy to think about because we talked about it in October, right? The end of October, there were already a record of P4 coaches that were fired in the middle of their season. And so that in itself knew that it was going to create some sort of crazy carousel. And again, that's not even the right word for it anymore, just based off of how fast everything goes and how chaotic everything is. But yeah, you're starting to see, and again, when we talk about the transfer portal here in a little bit, it makes a little bit more sense about why some of these teams are, you don't want to use the word rushing into hiring, but they're making very quick decisions, acting very fast to try and give their team as much time for the early signing day, which is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then the transfer portal, the one transfer portal that's now only open for 14 days starting on January 2nd.
Which we'll talk a whole lot more about coming up in just a moment. But we mentioned phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show, you can give us a call right now, 334-321-1390. Tell us who you think is a great hire somewhere else, maybe a bad hire somewhere else, a surprising hire somewhere else. Anything on your mind, you can talk to us right now. And we get to the phone lines here in the first segment of today's show. As Andy, you're on the line, my man. What's going on?
Hey, Roy, guys. Hey, I just got a quick question for you. I was never a Lane Kiffin fan just because I followed him from his, you know, being the youngest coach in the NFL, and just any type of bit information I could get on him, I didn't like the guy. Funny. I mean, I like Deion Sanders, but I don't want him to coach here just because these guys are personalities and their egos. And I just want your thoughts. If you're Ole Miss, would you be happy? Hey, we got him for at least these years, and he did this, even though, you know, at the cost of what he did to them. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
is it better to love and instead of not having any love at all, or was that a big mistake on their part? Because again, there's some people. My thoughts is there's some people that, hey, at least they got, you know, a good couple years out of it. And my thought is, just like in life, you could have a great life, but if your last year is, you know, miserable, that's what you're living in, you know?
So, sure.
For example, if you spend all your time at work and had all this money and then you're dying and, you know, you don't have any family around, that's what you're living in. Mm-hmm. And that year of all that was a mistake and that's all in the past. And so just your thoughts on that. And if you could leave me online so I could listen to your answer.
Okay. Yeah, appreciate it. We'll do, Andy. We appreciate the call. And yeah, just we'll turn you off and you can hang up whenever you'd like. But look, I don't think overall Ole Miss did anything wrong. And the only thing that Ole Miss really did was, I guess, not have the amount of NIL funds that LSU has, which is sort of not in their control, right? And then, of course, telling Lane Kiffin that he couldn't finish out the season, which that's an argument and a discussion that we can have here in a minute. But I think big picture, Ole Miss and Ole Miss fans who have not been happy and showed up to the airport with a lot of middle fingers and cuss words, right?
Thought that was telling them he was number one.
Yeah, emphatically, right?
Yes.
I think, big picture, Ole Miss fans should celebrate Lane Kiffin and thank Lane Kiffin for making Ole Miss football relevant. They had the best era of football in the history of their program with him at the helm. He made them more relevant than they've ever been. They got more wins than they've ever had. Folks, we're talking about Ole Miss football. Let's slow down for just a second and think about the history of Ole Miss football. That place used to be a laughingstock. There's a reason they've never been to Atlanta. There's a reason they've never really been a threat in the Southeastern Conference year in and year out. Lane Kiffin made them so. Lane Kiffin just put them in the college football playoff. Lane Kiffin's got a pretty darn good team over there. So I think, my personal opinion, it's okay to be upset right now if you're an Ole Miss fan or if you're Ole Miss administration or whatever the case may be because you feel Lane left you out to dry and then you told him to kick rocks. That's fine, whatever. But I don't think you can hate on him. Again, he brought you the best era of football that Oxford, Mississippi has ever seen. And I think you should thank him for that.
I think there are the feelings, too, which makes it a little bit more frustrating. And obviously, when you're in the moment, things hurt that much more. But it's the idea that he did just kind of up and leave. And you felt like there was drama year in and year out if he was going to take another job while he was still winning 8, 9, 10, and this year 11 games mm-hmm. in the regular season, and then how dirty everything got afterwards. How he kind of went rogue with his staff saying, if you're not headed to Baton Rouge by tonight, you don't have a job at LSU when I take it. And so you think it'll be fine, obviously, the next time that LSU and Ole Miss play each other, it's going to be headlines galore just
well,
because
of
everything.
Have you seen the schedule?
Yes.
LSU goes to Oxford next year.
Yes.
I mean, you couldn't have drawn that up more perfectly if you were the scheduling gods. That's phenomenal football.
It's crazy.
I don't care if both teams are winless, dude. Put that on primetime television radio.
It will be.
That's incredible.
It will be. It will be more than Lane Kiffin picking up golf balls and mustard from Tennessee or whatever the case
was. Dude, they
was.
Better put him in a bubble or something. Like one of those big inflatable clear balls, you know what I'm talking about, where you roll and try to...
Or just get one of the like maxi glass things that go around him that you just can't hit him.
Something. Legitimately, he's going to need something. But do you think Ole Miss fans should be mad or thankful for Lane Kiffin?
I think it's both. Again, I think getting to the point was, in the moment, your feelings are much more bitter. I think that when you're looking a decade from now or a decade and a half from now and whatever the case may be, with what his history is prior or post Ole Miss, I think things will get okay. It'll be really hard for Ole Miss fans to swallow if LSU goes and tries to win a national championship or competes in the national championship and you have to sit there and look at your coach that left you out to dry and didn't see you as a top job, right? Because he always was in the drama for the next head coach anywhere else. And so from that standpoint, Ole Miss fans will be a little bit bitter because they were seen as that next stepping stone rather than a top program. But when you take a step away and you look at the grand picture of things, that's kind of where your football team has been historically.
And it's unfortunate for them. It is what it is. But for Ole Miss, that was it right there at the end. That's what I said, and that's what you just said, is Ole Miss football has a peak. It has a cap. It has a limit. It was that way in 2005 when legal NIL was not a thing and players were not paid all that much, right?
No,
back
they weren't.
Back when football was almost clean. It was that way in 2005, but it's also that way in 2025. Ole Miss football has a cap, okay? Even if Lane Kiffin stayed at Ole Miss this season and coached them through the college football playoff, was anybody picking them to win the national title? No. Ohio State would dog walk that team if they met on the football field right now. And so Lane Kiffin, who, again, made them relevant, put them on the national scale, put them on the national stage, made people talk about Ole Miss, good and bad, okay, good and bad, for sure. But Lane Kiffin did what he had to do and went to a place that has proven it can win national championships. That means something, right? We have discussions in our friend group all the time that Auburn, as much as I agree or disagree, has proven it can win national championships. Now, that's been 15 years ago, and I think this is a new era, and that doesn't hold as much water. But LSU won one 5 years ago. So you can't blame Lane Kiffin, who is clearly a good coach and better as a coach now than he's ever been in his up and down bumpy road historically, right? How can you blame him as a football guy for going to a place like LSU that's a top 10 brand in college football? You can't. You may not like it. You may not be happy about it. But I don't think you can blame the guy for wanting to go to a place that is clearly better than Ole Miss.
And weirdly enough, and shout out Ben Taylor listening, plexiglass, not maxiglass. Yeah.
Is maxiglass a thing?
Maxiglass is,
a
type of glass. It's referred to. Oh, okay. It's for like swimming pools and stuff.
Maxiglass is?
Yeah. I can't say that on air, Ben, but I saw it.
Ooh, no, yeah, we're not. That's, yeah. Oh, it is.
I know it's a thing. It just wasn't.
A line of commercial bottle coolers. Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, not what you meant, but it works.
No. Plexiglass was.
You could put him in cooler of maxi glass, sure, if you wanted to.
But going back to all of it, how much more of it too is not just the head coach, the blank named head coach taking the Ole Miss job to go to LSU? It really is the fact of the Lane Kiffin personality, that plays a
no
big factor. And that was what Andy brought up, was it's the fact that he's so live on Twitter and so active and loves to make a troll. Yeah.
Yep.
I got to turn my phone upside down.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Hey, Ben, aren't you supposed to be working or something, man? It's only 2:00. You still got a couple more hours on the clock.
But again,
you're right, though.
So much
you're
of it is the Lane Kiffin personality, to where if this was a unnamed, unpersonalitied head coach who just went and took the LSU job from Ole Miss, it wouldn't have the same factor of it being the ultimate online media personality troll of Lane Kiffin.
I agree with that 100%. So, Andy, good question. I think Ole Miss fans will be fine. They'll get over it eventually, but I'll say it, they'll never be as good as they were. I don't think you find better than him, unless they're willing to fork over the money, not in the contract, but in NIL, until that problem gets fixed, right? It's just the fact. And Lane Kiffin just proved it and told the entire world that Ole Miss cannot compete with the top dogs in college football. When it comes to buying talent, Ole Miss cannot compete. And Lane Kiffin told the entire world that with this move. So, either way, that was a crazy sequence. But that's only one coach and one job. There's a whole lot more that's been going on around college football as well. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'd love to get your thoughts on the Lane Kiffin move, on other coaches being hired, and, of course, Alex Golish at Auburn as well. We talk about that and a whole lot more as we're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are wide open today with no scheduled guest, and so you can be a part of the show at any time this afternoon by calling 334-321-1390, giving us your thoughts on Alex Golish being hired as Auburn's next head football coach or any of the other guys hired as head football coaches across college football. You could call us, again, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067, who you think maybe the best hire is, a sneaky good hire, a hire that'll never work somewhere. Whatever the case may be, we want to hear from you. And there's a ton of them out there, man. I mean, some that obviously made major headlines. James Franklin taking the Virginia Tech job. He's gotten straight to work. I mean, they've picked up a bunch of commitments, and a lot of them were flips from Penn State and a lot of transfers from Penn State and things like that. But instantly makes that team and program better. I don't like James Franklin. We know that. I don't have anything against him. I just thought he was capped out at Penn State. That's a home run hire for Virginia Tech, dude. They're one of the worst P4 programs right now in college football, and I hate that, but it's just that it's bad for college football when Virginia Tech's not good because it's one of the greatest atmospheres that there is. That's a home run hire for them. James Franklin will turn that around in year one and will get them back to at least competing in the ACC. He's not winning national titles there, but he's at least going to make them competitive again.
Well, I mean, when you're looking at it, and SMU is 8-4, and they're playing in the ACC championship on Saturday.
The conference needs that.
The conference needs some sort of team to be that pick-me-up team, and Virginia Tech, who went 3-9 and were 2-6 in conference play, could be that team because you have – it's so wild to look at this ACC schedule because Virginia is 10-2 overall. They're 7-1 in conference play. They're in the ACC championship. Mm-hmm. And then you have Miami, who's 10-2 but went 6-2 in conference play and lost to SMU. So although SMU is two games below that at 8-4 – they now get to jump Pittsburgh and Duke and Miami to play in the conference championship.
That math isn't math in there, sir. Not to you, just in general. Like, it's just like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But, yeah, I think James Franklin to Virginia Tech is a good hire. Eric Morris to Oklahoma State, I think, is a very underrated hire for them, for the Cowboys. That one happened early, but I think that's a really good hire for them. Jim Mora going to Colorado State is pretty solid. That one flew under the radar a little bit. You liked this one, I know.
Yeah.
Tavita Pritchard, the Commanders quarterback coach, going out to Stanford.
I think that could be really, really good because Andrew Luck is now basically the GM of Stanford football, if not all of Stanford athletics. And so you're getting a quarterbacks coach from the Commanders, and you're getting one of the best college quarterbacks and one of the greats of the NFL in the short time that he played to go be the main guys there. And Stanford was the team that got that $20 million anonymous donation, whether that was from Andrew or from somebody else. But $20 million random donations don't usually just happen. And so, yeah, I think that could be not enough to make a crazy amount of noise, but to get them back to at least relevancy.
I mean, talk about the ACC. That's another team that could step up and start winning a couple of games. And
doesn't that hurt to say?
Oh, it's disgusting. Yeah, it's terrible. And then you want to hear this, too. How about the Pac-12? Remember that conference? Yeah, they're back. Oregon State hires a new head coach with Jamarcus Shepard. Then you start getting into the big ones. All right, I love this hire for Michigan State. And I think it could be the hire of the cycle. It's former Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald, who we know had some of the, I don't even know what word to use that's appropriate, because it wasn't scandal or fiasco or any, like, it at the time it was not good, But then it got cleared up, and Northwestern was like, everybody was like, ooh, probably shouldn't have let that guy go. But either way, they did. He's been looking for a new job. Michigan State says, yoink, we'll take him. And if you can win at Northwestern, buddy, you can win at Michigan State. I promise you that. So that's a great hire. Pat Fitzgerald to Michigan State. Ryan Silverfield, the Memphis head coach, is now in Fayetteville to take the Arkansas job. Of course, we talked yesterday a little bit about John Summerall, who was introduced at Florida, with Lane Kiffin going to LSU. Little surprised by this. Ole Miss just instantly promoting Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, not even to interim. Just.
Yeah, he's it. I mean, he was.
Your first game as the head coach is going to be a college football playoff game.
In Oxford.
Unless the committee, who they said coaching will play a factor. Could you imagine?
I don't think they get left out, though. Their seed line could be messed up.
I don't think they get left off, but just.
But I almost agree with that. Weirdly enough, I think it should. Ole Miss is not the same team without Lane Kiffin.
I agree.
You're a shell of yourself without your head coach. I think it should impact your college football playoff ranking.
Goes back to the wonderful calendar that we have here.
Yeah, exactly. Pete Golding, again, the DC promoted to head coach at Ole Miss. And then we got several texts, and this is the win of the cycle two. How about Oregon's offensive coordinator heading to Kentucky? That's right, Mr. Stein heading from Eugene to Lexington, grew up going to Kentucky football games as a kid and said this is his dream job to be the head coach at Kentucky. So that's a dang good hire to get rid of Coach Stoops and bring in Coach Stein there at Kentucky. So lots of big name hires. We got several texts we'll get to when we come back. Phone lines are open as well. Give us a call. We're talking more college football after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us on a overcast Tuesday afternoon here in the Auburn-Opelika area and having a lot of fun and talking all things college football for, I believe, most of, if not all of the show today. A little high school basketball conversation in there, but again, phone lines are open the entire show today, so if you want to be a part of it, you absolutely can be. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on Alex Golish being hired at Auburn. Your thoughts on other coaches being hired other places as well, which is what we left off on before we went to break. And you can give us a call, 334-321-1390, or shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Couple of texts in their text box before we move on from this conversation. Got a couple of people talking about saying not as high on Fitzgerald as you guys are. Pat Fitzgerald, former Northwestern coach, going to Michigan State. His last two seasons on the field were not good either. Agreed. But overall, just the culture change that he had at Northwestern and the fact that they were winning, which, hey, give him credit right now. They're winning games and actually a pretty darn good football team. I know the record doesn't show it, but
defensively. Offensively.
Defensively and running the football.
Yeah.
Quarterback is an issue. Yeah. Scoring is an issue, but I don't know. I just think.
We've never heard that.
Yeah. Michigan State. Okay, I've got some buddies that are up there and cover that and things, and Michigan State is eerily similar to Ole Miss. The way we were talking about the Rebels a while ago on today's show about, and you wouldn't think this, with the success that they had for the first 20 years of our lives, right? I mean, you're talking about a team that went to the Rose Bowl several times, made it to, what, the second college football playoff? Was it 2015 that they made it? They got smacked by Alabama, but they made it. And you're talking about a team that's won some big games in their program's history, but they aren't ready to put forth the money to compete in college football, not at the highest level. They're willing to do enough to make money off of it, like a big P4 program should, but I don't think Michigan State is saying, hey, let's be the next Ohio State. Let's be the next Penn State. Let's be the next Michigan and truly compete, which is why you hire a guy like Pat Fitzgerald. But I think it's a good hire for Michigan State, personally. Another text is talking about Penn State because they are one of the last big jobs to not have a head coaching hire. And have you seen what the rumblings are, and not even rumblings, what the dramatics are with this situation, Christian, with what Penn State's trying to do right now?
I know that it's trying to, is it Kalani Sitake?
Sitake from BYU. Yeah. But Penn State is basically fighting the church to get this guy away from BYU. It's wild, man. It's wild. And nothing is official yet, but that seems to be the trend right now for Penn State. And who would have thought, right, that Penn State firing James Franklin, that they would be one of, if not the last big job to be filled? I don't know. Did the UCLA job officially get filled? I know they were after the James Madison guy.
Bob Chesney, yeah.
Did that become official? I know they were working towards a deal or whatever.
A day ago, it said that they were set to sign a 5-year deal.
Okay, so I'm sure it's going to happen. That's a great hire for UCLA, too. If they give him a shot and actually give him what it takes to succeed, Chesney's a great coach.
This might be delayed based off of the Dukes making the college football playoff.
Oh, yeah. Surely they would let him coach.
That's what I'm saying. It's probably delayed with why UCLA is not in any sort of rush.
I guess it makes sense.
Because I'm pretty positive, based off of the ESPN All-State playoff predictor, I believe that they are the highest G5 team. They are at 61% to make the college football playoff. You then have North Texas at 47% and Tulane at 32%. Those are the only three G5 teams that are shown on the initial graphic. And so, as of right now, James Madison's the favorite to be the G5 team. And so, maybe that's the reason Chesney hasn't agreed to sign anything. But, what a hire that would and that could be. And unfortunate for James Madison that you go and you get two great coaches over the handful of 5 or 6 years, and now they're about to take some of the biggest jobs in college football.
Yeah, a team that made a hire, not necessarily for the head coaching spot, but one that we think is a really good hire. We briefly mentioned it during the crazy show yesterday. Boston College hiring Kenyatta Watson.
Yeah.
It's a really good hire for Boston College. Talk about a team and a program that's trying to become serious in the ACC. Funny how a lot of these teams that are unserious are in the ACC. I'm sure it's just coincidence, but what a great hire for them to get Kenyatta Watson to go up to Boston College. Also, totally off topic. You mentioned something about a graphic. How about this graphic that Ole Miss football put out 6 minutes ago? I'm going to show you, and I'll tell the people what it is over the radio.
Everybody here, look. I'm holding it out. Look at it.
Look at this graphic that I'm showing Christian at the moment. 6 minutes ago, Ole Miss football puts out a "We are a lock for the college football playoff" graphic with a picture of their entire staff for football with everybody labeled. And, of course, Pete Golding, there he is, front and center as the new head coach. I don't know why you post this. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense other than to generate buzz on social media the day of the latest college football playoff rankings, but doesn't sound like they're mad at all. No. They're not petty at all.
With nine coaches.
That's the correct number, right? It's phenomenal. College football, man. Never change.
And knowing Lane Kiffin, he'll put that on his story, too.
He'll retweet it.
Yeah,
he'll retweet it. Yesterday,
he was retweeting and commenting to all the videos of the people giving him, showing him number one. And
as of yesterday, he hadn't even changed his profile stuff. It was still,
but they had taken away like the old code or the Ole Miss logo next to his name, like the official Twitter one.
Dude. College football, man. It's a wild sport with all these coaching changes and things, but it's also a wild sport because the calendar is broken. Yeah. And the problem is people in the industry, ourselves and a lot of people bigger than us, feel that it can't be fixed. And one of the problems is the transfer portal right now. That seems to just completely be off the rails. And if you have your Twitter notifications on for a couple of people, your phone has not stopped buzzing over the last couple of days, because the regular season is over. Teams are preparing for whatever bowl season is nowadays in the college football playoff. But you had a couple of points, Christian, that you wanted to make about where we are and kind of where we're heading right now.
Yeah, just about kind of the transfer portal as a whole. Again, there's no spring portal anymore, so the only one is the two-week window in January, and things like that can change based off of a coach or any coach situation after January. But the last that we had truly heard about the portal was anytime, you know, you hear about it in college basketball, and we had to stress that for a couple of weeks about kids having 30 days once Bruce Pearl stepped down and Stephen Pearl got hired as the head coach, that you have 30 days to explore your options and decide if you want to go elsewhere. Baseball works relatively the same, and football had worked relatively the same, but it was more of a, once a head coach gets to X school, they have 5 days before the kids can enter the portal just to basically sell themselves, sell the school, sell their vision of what they want to do. But that was actually changed, or I guess I should say it was altered a little bit, because it all had to basically happen before a certain deadline, which is why you're seeing a bunch of these teams make really quick decisions to go get a head coach, because it almost happened before that January 2nd portal opening period. And since Auburn did, as well as many other schools, there is no additional portal window for any of the players at any of these schools. And so, again, the only transfer portal era now, or the only transfer portal now, is a two-week period starting on January 2nd. And so when you look at it, for all of these head coaches, rather than having 5 days before the portal officially opens for these kids, these teams, and especially, again, Alex Golish, has a month to meet with this team, to recruit, to retain. And reports are that the very first people he met with were Deuce Knight and Cam Coleman. And so that obviously gives you a lot of hope and a lot of excitement looking forward. If you want to use social media as any sort of investigative thing to see any of the players, I know there's the thing that Ja'Caleb Falk posted, but I think that was more about the position coach that I saw South Florida Barstool tweeted about it, and were basically trying to amp it up a whole lot more. I'm pretty positive it was a position coach thing rather than the overall head coach. But I did see that the day after Golish was hired, and so this would have been on yesterday or Sunday evening, Deuce on his Instagram story put a picture of him, Cam, and Eric, him, Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton, with a song that I know you know very well, and it's called All In by NBA Youngboy.
Ah.
I couldn't tell you a lyric about it, but
I do like that song.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Oh, I had.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I should have just played it off then. But so again, if you want to take your social media investigative reporting, he posted that with the three of them, and the song's name was All In. And so I know a bunch of people took that and ran with it. But yeah, I really wanted to. I didn't have the chance to, we didn't have our chance to ask Coach Golish any questions, got occupied by a couple other fantastic questions.
We just missed out.
Yeah, unfortunately just missed out. But there were some really good questions that were just in front of us.
There were.
And some other ones as well. But I was going to ask him, and really wanted to just to ask him about the difference in this year's coaching versus previous year's coaching, and not only from the G5 to the P4 standpoint, but these teams, and just we'll talk to specifically about Auburn. Golish doesn't have that opportunity now to go hit the transfer portal, get the guys that he thinks he needs, watch them for a month and a half, and go through the early parts of spring ball, go through what was A-Day, and then go and realize, okay, we still need an offensive guard, we still need a really good outside linebacker, and we need whoever else. We need a third running back, or whatever the case may be. You don't have that now. And so it's really interesting, and again, would would have loved to get his thoughts on that, of how do you balance that now of trying to combat still wanting to dominate high school recruiting, which he talked about dominating that 250-mile radius at the high school level, while also making sure that you have the guys that you need and the guys that you feel like you have the ability to compete in year one in a really, really tough 2026 schedule.
From what he said, talking about that 250-mile radius that you brought up, and I saw a lot of people talking about this yesterday, and we briefly mentioned it on the show, that tells me that he at least understands, and since he came from the state of Florida, right,
and even Tennessee,
exactly. This is not Brian Harsin from Idaho, right? This is not even Kalen DeBoer from Washington, right? DeBoer's obviously done a good job, but DeBoer understood what he had to do when he got in Alabama because Nick Saban told him, hey, recruit the state, recruit the circle, right? Alex Golas seems to understand that. And him going out of his way to not just say that, but exclaim that.
Yeah, to say we're going to hit it harder than any other team in the country.
That tells me he still wants to build through high school recruiting. And it tells me that he believes that that can still work.
I agree, but year one is going to be more of that question mark just because again, if there's Auburn guys that transfer and just trying to get the guys that he wants. Obviously, when you get to year two and you get to year three, because that's all we ask for is year three, right?
Yeah.
That's all we ask for. But once you get to that point, you've now been able to stack a couple of your recruiting classes, because even this year, it's going to be hard for Golas to get his recruiting class and his staff's recruiting class. It's going to be trying to keep the guys that were already committed, which hasn't gone great. Not that that's a Golas thing. That's more of the I'll weigh my options or I'll talk to other schools and make commitments now. But Golas is going to have to go out and do that Hugh Freeze thing that he did in year one, which is get a lot of flips on signing day and then try and use the transfer portal really, really well. Not having the spring portal, ironically, although it's great for college football, it's great for the fan base, it's great for the players, whether they want to admit it or not, because now you can go back to actually having spring games. You could have A-Day games because there's no threat of, man, Julian Sayin didn't really work out, but man, Deuce Knight looked really good in the A-Day game. Let's give him a call because I know he'd answer, and let's see what happens. There is none of that anymore, but weirdly enough, for these year one coaches, and there's more than there's ever been, either year one head coaches or just year one head coaches at their respective schools, that spring portal could have been relatively beneficial.
Yeah, it could. And, you know, you look at Golas too, and he's taking over a roster talent-wise, with taking out the guys who are graduating and out of eligibility, you're taking over a roster that most new head coaches don't get. Like, this is not the 5-7 football team. This roster is not a 5-7 roster, right?
This is not looking at Northwestern's 6-6 team.
Yeah, you're not walking into UCLA's roster or Stanford or Michigan State. Like, dude, you're walking into a top third SEC roster, okay? Yes, you're losing some guys from graduation, and you're going to lose some guys to the portal. It's inevitable. He even said that yesterday. But you don't have to rebuild as much as you think if you can retain what's on this roster. And that's what he said step number one is. And you know who deserves the credit for that? Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze deserves the credit for what this roster looks like, because him and his staff built it. They couldn't do anything with it, but they built it. And they deserve credit for that. It's Alex Golas's job and his new staff to retain what you can. And thankfully, in the new calendar formation that you're talking about, you don't have to stress as much. But it's also the situation, I know we got to get to break, is the idea that in year one, you just got to get what you can get. Get your hands on anything and bring them in and see what happens. But I'll say that with an asterisk, because you don't just bring in anything and everything and hope it works. You still got to stick to your game plan. Still stick to your system and who's going to make you a better football team.
And that's what he talked about in the press conference, talking about, man, I'm going to meet with the team. I'm going to meet with every single player individually, and I'm going to start by retaining the kids that want to be here. The kids that want to play for Auburn, the kids that still see their future. And if not, we'll go our separate ways, and there's going to be no hard feelings. But yeah, this is a roster that most first-year head coaches at the new program don't have. And so from a confidence standpoint, he has to at least feel good based off of the guys that he hopes he already has the upper hand on, since they're already between the walls. They're already in those meeting rooms. It's just about finding ways to make sure that you can keep them happy, make sure that you can keep them on your team. And then when January 2nd hits, you got a month to figure out what your plans are and try and figure out where you need to put those Band-Aids to try and compete in year one.
All right, we got to get to our final break here in hour number one. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of our high school basketball stuff as we are fully in high school basketball season. Talk Auburn High, talk Lee Scott. Couple of minutes there, and then we get into hour number two right after this.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes, and really like a minute and a half, before we got to take our top of the hour break. Hour number two, we'll talk a lot more college football. Playoff rankings coming out tonight, and more dramatics there, and of course some Auburn football things, and we'll talk scheduling and all sorts of fun stuff. So that's coming up in hour number two. But Christian, here on the way out, you and I are in full high school basketball season, since neither one of us are preparing for state championship games this week, which is fine. I didn't want to go to Birmingham tomorrow anyway. So, yeah, basketball
season. You said you can
season.
Go to Prattville tonight.
Yeah, I can. I do get to go to Prattville tonight. Yes, called a couple of games last night for Auburn High. The girls and the boys hosted Benjamin Russell. Both got big wins. Shout out Brayley Winfrey on the girls team for getting scoring 1,500 points 4.5 games into her senior season. So yeah, it's pretty impressive. So
you know the video of Denver Jones, and it's like, what do you want to be remembered for? And he says, bucket getter.
Yeah, she's one of them. So yes, that was cool. The boys got a big win. And then the boys tonight, yes, we're on the road at Prattville. I'll tell you more about it in a little bit, but you're on the air tonight as well.
I am, yeah. Lee Scott Academy girls and boys varsity basketball taking on Valley, a nice 5A team. So another really tough early season opponent, going to challenge themselves both in the varsity girls and the varsity boys. Varsity girls set for right around a 5:15 tip, and then the boys will be to follow. I'd tell you a time, but everybody knows that that's about a 45-50 minute window before that or after. So, but yes, Tiger Country 104.5 for Lee Scott Academy girls varsity and boys varsity basketball.
Hour number one's in the book. Stick around. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get underway here in hour number two during today's show. And if you missed any of the first hour, You can go back and listen to the podcast. We take the show audio, put it on our station website for you each and every day at ESPNAU.com. And in hour number one, we talked a lot about the other coaching news in college football, about SEC coaches, P5 coaches, other coaches. I mean, a lot of drama going on around college football. So talked a lot about that. Plus, we also started to dive into the transfer portal a little bit and what Auburn needs to do with new head coach Alex Golish and how it may not be as critical for him to hit the portal hard in these next couple of days. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed it, you could check out the podcast version of the show wherever you get your podcast or on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're going to talk a little bit more on the Auburn defensive side of things as we continue to wait, as there are no news updates along the side of DJ Durkin, why that could be a good thing, why that might not be such a good thing. Early signing day tomorrow, we'll talk about that, as you feel like you need to have an answer on the defensive side of the football. Once that hits, you imagine today, I mean, would have to be the deadline just to clear up as much as you can for any of these kids that still want to sign as early as they can. We'll also talk a little bit about the first commit under Alex Golish and maybe some decommits in there as well. Also going to talk about Alabama's football schedule in 2026 and not diving into every single game, but one game in particular and why it could be the first in a ripple effect throughout the entire world of college football. There's a lot of quotes along that side of things as well that we'll dive into because, again, it is going to be the first of many, and that will even be more so confirmed based off of what the rankings look like tonight and then the final college football playoff rankings once you establish who the 12 teams are going to be. And then at 3:30, we get to talk about our fun conversation. We were going to talk a little bit about it yesterday, and I said, no, we need some time to be able to dive into this. What better way, after talking about what Alabama's schedule is doing, affecting the college football playoff, we get to talk about the college football playoff as conference championship week is here, and like a broken pencil, it's pointless for most of these conferences.
Doesn't a broken pencil have points, though? Especially the old wooden number two pencils that they give you during standardized testing. If you break it, it's got like several points on it, right?
Well, if you break it down the middle, but if you break it when you're writing, it doesn't have the...
Oh, okay. I thought when you said broken pencil, I thought of like a broken, snapped in half pencil. Then you've got 2 points.
So when you sit there and you, oh no, my pencil's broken.
I'm going to be honest, I couldn't tell you the last time I used a pencil.
Yeah, it's as I'm holding a pen in my right hand.
In my professional life, yeah. I mean, even in college, I don't remember using pencils all that much.
Yeah, I mean,
and now in the
technology's ruined the rotten the mats of these world.
Yeah, in the corporate world, yeah, I literally use pens for everything. So
yeah, and whatever that screen is right in front of you.
Yeah, that's
the devil right there.
He's always on that dang phone. Yeah.
But no, we'll talk about all of that because I said conference championships are pointless. And you'll continue to figure out why. We talked about my resolve for the SEC championship. We'll now be able to dive into a little bit more of that specifically as we know the teams that are actually going to be in those spots and how we have complaints on some of the teams that are listed as a lock and why some teams aren't listed as a lock or might not even make the college football playoff when you feel like they have the exact same argument. So all of that coming up here in a jam-packed, like a sharpened pencil. It's very, we do have a point
to the point
in this second hour, saying it like it is and holding nothing back.
Or a mechanical pencil. I was definitely a mechanical pencil guy.
I can't believe you thought that when I said a broken pencil, you thought I snapped it over my knee.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, it has.
Yeah, broken. Is that not considered a broken pencil? If I hand you a number two yellow pencil snapped in half and I hand it to you, how would you describe that pencil? It's broken.
I would say you snapped it.
You'd say, wow, that's a snapped pencil.
No, would say you
that's a broken pencil.
I would say, man, why did you snap that pencil?
But you didn't see me snap it. I just handed it to you in two pieces. You would say, oh, that's broken.
What would you say about the yellow pencil that you can't write with unless you go sharpen it?
It's also broken. I'm just saying I interpreted it a different way than you
did. We're both right. Oh, nobody. Nobody.
Oh, dang it. She's not listening. Man, clip it. This will be on the podcast later. We're both right. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? We're both right. Anyway, phone lines are open in hour number two. We don't have any guests today, so if you want to be a part of the show and tell us what your interpretation of a broken pencil is or anything else in the college football world, you can be a part of the show. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And there seems to be some buzz. I'm not going to say movement because nothing is official yet, but there is buzz around the idea that DJ Durkin could remain as Auburn's defensive coordinator. Now, Alex Golish, new Auburn football head coach, told everybody yesterday that it was going to take some time to get this figured out. And he was going through the process, is what he said to the question about DJ Durkin, that they were going through the process, going through what they needed to, and that they wanted to have an answer soon, but it would not be right then and there.
Yeah, use the word plan multiple times. We're evaluating the plan. We're announcing, we're going through our plan, trying to see what the future is going to look like on the defensive side of the football. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday. Do you see it personally, Jacob, as no news is good news? You feel like a lot of times that statement is true, or are you more at the point of, okay, since there's no news, it's a little bit more worrisome just because you feel like with signing day starting tomorrow, it gets to the point of the longer you drag this out, the less confident you feel about the defensive coordinator staying at Auburn?
I think how I felt yesterday, and I think I said this, going into the presser, right, the media only presser yesterday, was I was hoping that he would make a statement about it right then and there,
yeah,
in hopes that it was, we are keeping DJ Durkin.
Yeah, do the Hugh Freeze route of, before I really say anything, I want to let you know that that man right there, mm-hmm. Mr. Carnell Williams, is, you know, and then it basically got a round of applause, and that kind of won over that meeting from there, because that was the biggest question mark at that time.
And so since we don't have news, my gut feeling says no news is bad news. That's my gut feeling. Doesn't mean it's right, and I don't have any crazy insider information. I've talked with some folks about what they think, but there's nothing official yet. And for the record, anybody right now that's claiming to know what Alex Golish's mindset is and process and plan is, they don't know. Okay, I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. I don't care who they are. I don't care what outlet they're with or what message board you find them on. They don't know.
Because even the people we talked with didn't know.
The guy just got here. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's now been, oh gosh, he said 23 hours at noon. So we are now 48, 49 hours into this process.
Exactly. And so my gut tells me that no news is bad news when it comes to retaining DJ Durkin. But that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I think it's in his best interest to keep DJ Durkin, because I don't think you get better than him. Right? I don't think Auburn goes out and finds a better defensive coordinator than what they have. And doesn't mean you couldn't go get a good one. Doesn't mean you couldn't go and get a great one. But if there's any way for that relationship to work between Alex Golish, who did get the head coaching job, and DJ Durkin, who didn't get the head coaching job, if there is any possible way for that to work, you need to try and do it.
And that even adds to the point of, obviously easier said than done, sitting in front of a microphone here today, but like Golish talked all about yesterday, of the first thing that we need to do is retain.
Mm-hmm.
You look at all of the commits that are with Auburn. A lot of them are defensive. You look at the guys that were brought over defensively. All of those guys are because of DJ Durkin. Yes, Hugh Freeze played a factor in it, but we talked a little bit about it either a week or two ago about Xavier Atkins' comments on, man, before the season, he committed to Auburn because he wanted to go play for DJ Durkin. Yes, the head coach means something, and that's not what I'm trying to diminish you, Freeze, or Golish in that standpoint, but your position coach does so much for you. You go look at some of the best quarterback coaches in the country or some of the best offensive coordinators. That's who you go and you play for while you represent the head coach, while you represent the program. Xavier Atkins is that perfect example of he transferred from LSU because he wanted to go play for DJ Durkin. And you saw what he's been able to do this season. He's going to go down as if he continues to say what he said after the game of 100%, man, this is home for me. I don't want to go anywhere. He could go down as one of the best linebackers to ever play for Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Had one of the best single season games or single seasons statistically as an Auburn linebacker, just based off of the sacks, the tackles for loss, and the impact, right? I mean, that you feel like you saw 17 flying around the football all the time. All of that is because you're playing for one of the best, if not the best, defensive coordinator in college football. And so if you're wanting to go about doing that retaining and there is any sort of mutual agreement, there's got to be a way to find that common ground to be able to shake hands to keep your defense just as a starter.
And it's a slippery slope, too, if you're Alex Golish, because you don't want to be the guy to do this, but in some ways you feel like you have to. Right, talking with current players on the roster, like you were mentioning, defensive guys, and also your recruits, too, with tomorrow being a big day in the next couple of days now with signing day coming up. You don't want to be this guy, but again, you feel like you almost have to, of going to all these people and saying, hey, how important is it to you?
Yeah, I want you. What does that entail?
Right. Are you tied to DJ Durkin,
exactly,
basically?
Yes.
Like, whether you're a recruit or a current player. And again, that's a hard question to ask. It's low-key kind of dirty. Not towards Alex Golish or anything. It's just, it's a crappy question. It sucks.
It's like, a loaded question. You feel like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're basically admitting, hey, I'm considering not keeping this guy. How important to you is it that we do? And then... Right, you're putting the current players and you're putting the recruits in a position to either fully support the guy that you may or may not support, or you're asking the players to go against a guy that they've been coaching for or been playing for, that's been coaching them, right? And so that puts the players and the recruits in a tough position, right? Players and recruits in a tough position. And also Alex Golish in a tough position, too. So there's no easy way to do it, but I think all of those tough conversations just come with the territory, right? Most coaches, most players, most recruits have been through something like this before, and hopefully that's at least the common ground that can help Alex Golish through this time, I guess. This decision is what it is.
We fired up the callers. We're talking about the Christmas season. Got the phone lines lighting up like a Christmas tree. While
Bring
we have
on.
A few minutes, let's get to the phone lines at 334-321-1390. Inspector, we're going right to you, sir. How are you on this Tuesday afternoon?
I'm pretty good. You guys?
Doing well.
Hey, listen, I haven't talked to you guys since with the new hire.
Yeah.
Of course he wasn't my choice. I'll be up front with that. But he's hired. We got to live with it, and we got to get behind him. With that being said, I will give you my opinion.
Sure.
Durkin, you know, any defensive coordinator, especially Durkin, does not like a high-tempo offense. And that might be the thing behind him. I mean, I thought, sure, he was waiting out to see if he would go ahead and get the Kentucky job myself. But, like you said, the longer this goes out, the worse it looks for him staying at Auburn.
Mm-hmm. Or for what, like your point exactly, maybe no news is good news because that Kentucky job is now filled.
Or maybe you're right. Is it filled? I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
it is.
Will
yeah,
Stein.
Will Stein, the offensive coordinator from Oregon, signed it with it yesterday. So with the Cats.
Okay, well that's done then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know. Durkin, I mean, not Durkin, but Alex, what's his last name?
Golish.
Golish.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, dog, I keep saying something else. I swear he looks like Zelensky to me. Looks like he could be his brother. But anyway, he is the same mentality as far as offensive goes as Gus Malzahn and Hugh Freeze. But, you know, I don't know, guys. I guess I'll just wait and comment later on this because I just have an uneasy feeling about we just hired the same guy again, Hugh Freeze, from Malzahn to Hugh Freeze to him. We got the same offense. But is he gonna do what he says? Mm. I mean, you know, Hugh Freeze said all the right things when he was hired, but did he do what he said he was gonna do? No.
And I think that's where most of the fan base is at of what you said in the press conference was good, but Auburn fans have been burned so many times that we need to see any sort of production until we completely hop on board.
Yeah, appreciate it, Spectre. 334-321-1390. That's what we said, too. We're going to get to another phone call here in just a moment, maybe after the break. But that's what we said yesterday was that mentality, that idea that Auburn fans have, myself included, I was very vocal about that yesterday. That's not fair to Alex Golish. But guess what? Fair's in August. And you have one job. You can fix that if you're Alex Golish.
You've never been to the December fair?
No. Fair's in August.
Maybe up north.
It is. You're right. Yeah. What fair is in December?
I don't know. I
mean, career fair in December, maybe.
There you go. Sure.
But no, it's not fair to Alex Golish, but it is what it is. You know how you fix it? Go prove it. You talked about hard work. You talk about proving it. You talk about player-driven, you know, program. Cool. Go do it. If you do it, you'll win over the fan base. And if you do it fast, you'll win them over fast. Yeah. It really is that simple if you're Alex Golish. And you can't be hung up on that. That's not your job. If you get hung up on that, you're dead before it even starts. And so I think a lot of people are in that boat of wait and see. You sound good. Can you back it up? And I don't blame them.
334-321-1390. We got to take a break. Ty the Tiger, we're coming to you as soon as we get back. Give you a little bit more time rather than cutting you off here as we head to our break. But one quote or one statement, rather, that I'll read with this USF offense or the USF team, rather, that Alex Golish coached last year. Their defense this year allowed 386 yards of offense per game, ranking 81st in college football. Auburn's defense ranked 31st. In yards allowed per season. So if you're just looking at a stat, seeing DJ Durkin and you can jump 50 spots defensively feels relatively appetizing to us. But what do we know? We just talk in front of a radio. Ty the Tiger, we're coming to you on the other side of this break, and we continue this conversation here on the other side.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
Let's get back to the phone lines here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Ty the Tiger, you've been waiting on through the break, brother. What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, man?
Oh, man, doing pretty good. Pretty fired up, man. Just left the Opelika quarterback club lunch in. Let me tell you something, man. We're going to take that title from Thompson, guys. I'm telling you right now.
Ty, don't make me hang up this phone on you right now.
Man, come on now. Come on. Remember how the Alabama fans always say, you know, well, Auburn's not there. So you got to cheer for the SEC, right? You got to cheer for Lee County, man. Come on, dog.
Yeah, I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
I hear you. Well, look, man, I'm just saying, I think it was this program. It was earlier in the year, right after Auburn and Opelika played each other. And mm-hmm. I called you and said, man, it was a good game, you know, this, that, and the other. And then the caller called right behind me and said, neither one of those teams are playoff teams. Do you remember that?
I do.
Now I wish that guy called in again because – Opelika's head to state, and Auburn made it to the semifinals. So
they were
not only playoff teams, they were some of the playoff teams to watch out for. So
yeah, Final Four. Man. Yep. No, best of luck to Opelika tomorrow. I will say best of luck to them taking on Thompson tomorrow night. They're a Protective Stadium, and it should be a good game. I think Opelika may be a little outmatched, but I think they have every chance to try and pull off the upset.
Man, like Coach said, man, we've been the underdog in every game we play. This ain't nothing new. We are dogs. go finish the job. Boy, he had the old crowd ready to run through a brick wall, put on pads, baby. It was live. It was live. But anyway, I'm going to throw out a little score prediction on that tomorrow. All right?
Okay.
31 Thompson, 35 Opelika.
Wow. Okay. All right. We'll
I
see.
I think it's going to be a scoring fest. I think Opelika's defense is going to hold just enough. They're going to hold Mr. Alabama commit just enough. But anyway, so I've got a question for you guys. Okay. About this, you know, because obviously we got a new hire, and y'all said everything I could say about that, so I'm not going to go into that and repeat what everybody's already said. But my question to you is,
okay,
that, you know, Summerall was supposedly a done deal.
Yeah.
You know, and he's
yeah.
coming to Auburn.
Yeah.
Now, the rumor is that we wanted to retain DJ Durkin, and that's where Summerall drew the line and started talking to Florida. Now, if that's the case, then do you think that this delay in announcement on DJ, or is it A, DJ kind of got his feelings hurt because he didn't get the head coaching job, and so he's looking for something? Or do you think it's B, Golish is really trying to figure out if he wants him to be his DC? Because, again, if you think about the reports that came out that was the issue with Summerall, then it had to be brought up with Golish, and it had to be kind of spoken about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So, basically, let me reiterate just to make sure I got you here. You're asking if A, the delay is DJ Durkin trying to find another job and maybe Auburn trying to help him with that, or B, is Alex Golish really trying to decide if DJ Durkin is his best option at defensive coordinator? Is that what you're asking here?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Which one do you think it is? If it had to be one of the two, what do you think it is?
I said earlier, my gut is no news is bad news, but I think it could still happen. And weirdly enough, I guess to sit on both sides of the fence here, given what I have come to learn about Alex Golish, and he says he's going through the plan and the process, I think they are trying to decide if DJ Durkin is the best option for them and their staff and what they want to run as a football team. But it could kind of intermingle with, okay, if that decision becomes no, I think they'll help find DJ Durkin a new job. But my gut tells me they are trying to make it work. We'll just have to see if it will or not.
I got you. You know, I thought it was a dagger when they named Cody Burns as associate head coach, since DJ did have that title under Hugh.
It's a good point. Yeah.
And that kind of, to me, I've been talking with my buddies, and that's why I go with the A of, I think DJ is maybe, again, looking to see if there are any other, because, again, I have not heard him rumored anywhere.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you had, like, again, you know, and all this is rumors and just clickbait and all that. But, again, I mean, there's smoke, there's fire. And in most instances, you know, there's at least a conversation or something like that. So, you know, my thing is anybody even considering him, like a North Texas or anywhere like that? Because I did see who hired their coach. Was it Oklahoma State or Oregon State?
Oklahoma State. And then
Oklahoma State hired North Texas's coach.
Correct. And then, James Madison is rumored with UCLA, too.
Yep, that's what I heard. So, again, I mean, I don't know if he's waiting out to see, you know, if one of those jobs become available and in his interest. You know, I like the guy, but, you know, man, I've learned in this industry, you know, it's business. And even with these kids, man. It's business.
Yeah,
I mean,
it used to be
passion and the creed and all this, but it's not anymore. And
right.
It is what it is. And I'm not mad at business. A business decision is a business decision. I got to make them all the time. Sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes I'm right. But it's a business decision. You know what I mean?
That's right. And I think too, Ty, and we're up against a break, brother. It's good to hear from you, my man. And it's a really good question. It is. It's a good question while we wait on the decision for DJ Durkin. Good news is DJ's been around the block a couple of times. DJ Durkin is not, I don't think, going to be overly butthurt about him being retained or not being retained, right? I mean, if it works out, it works out. If not, he's been preparing for it since Hugh Freeze got fired. Like, that's just reality. But it goes back to the idea that we talked about the day that Freeze was fired and the day that DJ was promoted to the interim. What was my question?
Does he really want it?
Does DJ even want to be a head coach? And the fact that Ty brought up a good point that nobody's talking about him going anywhere else. Nobody's even talking about him taking a defensive coordinator job somewhere else. Maybe because they didn't think he was available.
Sure.
Which is part of it, sure. But I think he brings up some interesting points. And again, if Alex Golish is smart, he'll do what he can to make it work. And if it does, great. If not, oh well.
And Durkin said it too. This was before and after getting the interim head coaching job, that he's built this for the long haul. He doesn't want to be anywhere. And so it makes the decision even more foggy about whose decision-making it will be. Is it Durkin that's wanting to head out, or is it Golish and his staff deciding that we want to take a different route to continue the way that we run the program, and so that way he doesn't feel threatened and Kevin steeled by hoping for failure, I'm going to step on your toes, and I'm going to try and get this job.
Yeah.
Right back.
Yeah.
We're up against the break. We blew past it just a little bit. We're going to head to it now. And we got Dak on the phone lines who's coming back to it. So,
our man.
Man, that phone line lit up when he was talking about Opelika. We'll get the Auburn side of things.
Yes, Dak, my man, my savior.
But we'll continue this conversation. Talk a little more college football and maybe a little bit of playoff as we finish up hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and we have more text, we have more calls. Again, phone lines are open at 334-321-1390. The text box is open at 784-1067. That's our On the Line text box, and a good text message there I do want to read before we get to our guy Dak, because Ty the Tiger brought up a point about Cody Burns, right, returning to Auburn, and saw some clips of him yesterday and his excitement and things about coming back to Auburn, and I do think that's really, really cool, right? But Ty brought up the point that maybe that was kind of a shot to DJ Durkin, because Cody's going to be the associate head coach to Alex Golish. But this texter says, you need Cody Burns because Alex Golish knows and trusts him, and Burns will be invaluable as far as learning the Auburn culture. And I think that's a really good point in terms of bringing Cody Burns back to Auburn. But let's get to the phone lines. This guy's been waiting on for quite some time. Dak, how are you, brother? What's going on this Tuesday afternoon?
Hey, man. How are y'all doing today?
Doing good, brother. Can you save me from this Opelika talk we got going on my radio station?
Yeah, tell us why Seaborn's throwing for 350 and 5 touchdowns.
Okay, hang on. Let me say this first. I originally wanted to talk about the Iron Bowl, but then I listened to the last caller talking about DJ Durkin, and I had some news about that.
Yeah.
So I went from one thing to the next. Now we're going to go to Opelika in the playoffs, so I'm good with either or.
Actually, we can it's basketball season now, so we don't even have to mention anything else.
I hear you. Now, first of all, I want to say good luck to Opelika.
Yeah.
What a great job that coach's staff have done, because Opelika has gotten tremendously a lot better since the first couple of weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you the most thing I was impressed with Opelika was how physical they were. And if they can play that physical and run the football, they're going to win that game. They got a chance to win that game if they can run for 180 yards like they did against Auburn High
School. Sure,
Thompson's going to have their yards in the air. If they can play keep away and run the football, they got a shot to win that thing. And, and saying that, I do want to say what a great job that Coach Etheridge and that staff did as well, because they had a lot of things going against them that night, and they almost, they almost pulled it out after they got behind.
Yeah.
And look, a hot team like Opelika, that's what it takes. A lot of times in the playoffs, it's not always the best team that wins. It's the hottest team that wins.
You're right about that.
And Opelika is, I would say Opelika is the hottest team right now.
And they're confident. I mean, they are uber confident, and they should be. They absolutely should be. You go on the road to your biggest rival and get a win in the semifinals. Biggest game in the history of Auburn Opelika, and the Dogs walk into the Duck and get it done to go to the state championship.
That's right.
You should absolutely be confident.
That's right. And look, it takes some luck, too. Even all those teams that I was on at Prattville when I was coaching, you know, as good as we were, it took luck a lot of times. And then in some of the state championship games that we lost, we got beat by luck a lot of times. So you got to have it your way. Think about this. For instance, and I'm not placing blame on nobody, but Auburn High School's kickoff guy has literally kicked the ball 100% in the end zone every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what?
The one
that
time.
kickoff team ain't had to make a tackle in 10 weeks, and he doesn't kick it once but twice to the 5-yard line. And what happened? They ran it back because when a kickoff team ain't getting a lot of practice tackling, that's what happens. And I mean, by no means am I blaming fault on that kid because he had a tremendous year and did a great job. But I mean, who would have thought that he wouldn't have kicked those balls in the end zone?
And that kickoff, and it really did look different because that dude ran down the right sideline and he had to make one man miss at about the 35-yard line, and that was it.
That's it. And then the first one, he almost ran back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first one, he almost ran back. He ran it to the 45, 50-yard line, and it was a hair away from going the distance then.
Yeah, you're right. And you said it, though. It takes plays like that to win big games, and Opelika made them. Auburn didn't, and that's why the Dogs are traveling to Birmingham and taking on Thompson. So I'm with you, Dak. Best of luck to Opelika tomorrow. It should be a really good game against Thompson, for sure.
It should be. Absolutely. Now, should we go to Durkin or should we talk about the Iron Bowl?
Yeah, man, this is your call, brother, whichever direction you want to go.
All right, so let me talk about – so the last caller was talking about Durkin a good bit, so – This is what some of it I know for a fact, and some of it I'm guessing what happened. But I do know this: DJ wants to stay at Auburn. He wanted to stay at Auburn regardless, and he loves it here. And he would have stayed for the defense coordinator's job. This is what I think happened, and I'm kind of getting in two different things here. I believe that he was told 2 weeks ago that Summerall was going to be given the chance to be the head coach. All right? If it fell through and Summerall didn't take it or something happened where he, went to another position or another job, that it would be his job. He would be the head coach. Summerall obviously let it be known a couple days before the Iron Bowl that he was leading toward Florida. That's where he was going. Even though it wasn't announced, pretty much everybody knew it 2 or 3 days before it. Durkin was thinking he was going to be the head coach because that's what he was told.
It was that verbal agreement.
That's what I'm guessing. I'm just guessing now. I'm not saying I know that for a fact. And then that's why at 1 o'clock in the morning they call Golish and offer him the job. And I don't think Durkin was expecting that. And I think he got upset about it.
Yeah.
And so, and then the caller asked, does he have another job? Are you kidding me? That dude has 20 offers right now. My guessing is he's maybe UAB, maybe some of these maybe Tulane. I think he possibly is a candidate for a head coaching job. That's why they're waiting to see if he gets it. And if not, then maybe we work it out where he does stay as defensive coordinator. That's what I'm hoping. But I do know this. If LSU's defensive coordinator that Kiffin has right now gets that Tulane job, you can kiss Durkin to LSU. Hmm. You can count on that.
Yeah, wouldn't that hurt? Wouldn't that hurt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's – I mean, so
I'm hoping.
Yeah. It'd be a heck of a – it'd be a heck of a path.
He don't get it. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Tulane goes in a different direction.
I'm with you on that. Well, man, what's your thoughts quickly on the Iron Bowl, my brother?
Well, this is the first time, guys, that I've watched an Iron Bowl that every single play, it was almost like we knew what they were running. It was a hellacious game plan. We were prepared offensively and defensively. We had people in place to make those plays, and we didn't do it, guys.
Yeah.
We didn't do it. And not just on offense. We shut their tails down, and even on their successful plays and on the we had guys there.
Yeah.
We had it stopped. And this goes back to what Coach Bryant, Coach Dye always used to say, and I always say it. In the Iron Bowl, playmakers make the play. Whoever's playmakers make the play is going to win that ball game. And your kicker makes the field goals. Both field goal kickers made their field goals.
Yep.
All right? It put us both in a position to win the game. And the bottom line is, our playmakers didn't make the plays. Theirs did.
And you know what's crazy about that, Dak, is you can even go back to when Freeze was here, right? I remember
the week after
4th and 31, right? Freeze pulled me and a couple people aside and explained the game, the play call on that play, and how they had dudes in the end zone to knock that football down, and they just didn't do it. They just weren't there, right?
In the Iron Bowl, does it not always come down to three, four, maybe five different plays that are ultimately the end goal? And Durkin talked about that in the press conference on the fourth and goal from the 2-yard line and said, man, we were in the right spots, but then we got caught looking in the backfield, and dude was able to slip in between the two linebackers and Ty Simpson fit in a tight window. But you had it covered for four of the 5 seconds needed.
Yep.
We knew the play. The safety was there. We knew it was going to be a pick either outside or inside. He was there for that, and he let him cross his face. It was perfectly planned, and we should have made the play. But, guys, even go back to Bryce Young, the year that they scored at the end and beat us. Yep. We had it stopped. It should have never been down there for them to win it at the end anyway.
Yeah, what was it, 3rd and 10, that, right? Bryce Young was standing in their own end zone?
Yep, that was the drive.
Yeah, the drive.
Yep.
So the bottom line over these last 5 years of losses, is we were in a situation where we could have won those games. Even last year, guys, we lost 28-14.
Sure.
And once again, I'm not putting blame on no one person. But if our field goal kicker makes those two field goals in the first half, look what the differences would be. We had at least had a chance. And then, you remember, we was on the 1-yard line and didn't score.
Mm-hmm. All right? Very similar to first and goal from the 5, though you had to settle for 3 before the half.
Well, let me tell you, the week before against Texas A&M, we ran the same play, and A&M didn't have the defense for it, and it worked. We ran the same play. We should have expected Alabama to be in the right position to stop it, and we should have had an alternative play for it, but we didn't. Remember, we was in bunch, Tripp's bunch, and we tried to run the option, and Alabama had it covered. They, right before the snap, they slid the linebackers over and the safety over because they knew that's what we was going to do.
And they smoked it. Yep.
Playmakers make the plays, and we ain't done it. That's the bottom line. But the coaching staff did a hell of a job to get us in a position to win that game the other night.
So, Dak, let me ask you a question based off of this conversation. And obviously, you're looking at it, and the conversation we're talking, it's more frustrating because of it's gone against Auburn over the past couple of years. But does it give you more confidence just based off of how everything's gone that it can be fixed, right? It's not you're sitting there staring down the barrel of, man, that team was just more talented than we were. We were happy to be able to keep it close. And although it's, yes, very frustrating, does it still build confidence that you're going in the right direction if you're process-oriented rather than looking at the scoreboard?
Absolutely. I mean, but the bottom line is, can we keep these players here?
Yeah.
If we can, then we are ahead of the game. This new coach has got something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. What scares me is that we lose half of them, we start back over from 3 years ago. That's my concern.
Which is inevitable, right, with a coaching change. I mean, that's just how it goes, right? You're right. Dak.
But guys, the last thing, though, guys, recruiting. We gotta get our share, 50% in Alabama, 40% in Georgia, 33% in Florida. That's the key. We got to get our share of those guys, man.
I love it. And that's what Golish talked about. Thanks, Dak. We appreciate you, brother. Great to hear from you and great content from a football guy.
Yeah.
Talking Auburn Opelika, talking the Iron Bowl, talking DJ Dirk and talking recruiting. I mean, that's great stuff there from a very loyal listener and a loyal caller at Dak right there. So
he brought up, again, just running the plays before and it working and you try running it again. I still have nightmares from – the carry-on jump pass that worked in the Iron Bowl.
Oh, gosh.
And then you tried to run it against Georgia on the – you remember that on the opening drive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it didn't work, and carry-on kept it and jumped, but it was the fake jump pass. Either that or he didn't like what he saw, but one of the two jumped up and then tucked it and lost like 4 yards.
Because good – like Dak said, good teams are supposed to be prepared for that.
Yes.
Right?
And but you know that Kirby said, all right, last time they were on the goal line, look at this formation. This is what they're going to run.
It's not that hard, man. It's not that hard. And it is frustrating to know that you were in the right position, you just didn't make the play, right?
Is that almost more frustrating than just saying, man, hats off, that was the better football team?
Every now and then, yes, but I mean...
it's been consistent.
That's the difference between Auburn being 5-7 and being 9-3. Because you make those 2, 3, 4 important plays a game and Auburn wins. All their losses are by a score.
Auburn's losses this year were by an average of 7.14 points.
You lost by a touchdown every game.
Except Georgia, which you lost by 10.
Right.
But that's what the 1-4 or whatever that was. But
that's one or two plays a game. That's what that is.
It's two plays.
Now, the problem is you asked Dak the question, is that positive momentum going forward because you have that or have had that? Yes.
But.
But it's a new staff.
Yes, comma, but. And there's a big asterisk on
new coach, new staff, new players. You have to somewhat hit the reset button. Yes, these standards at Auburn can be set, but you're making major changes.
Yeah.
Can those standards be reestablished? Sure. Can they be built on and improved upon? Absolutely, because you're 5-7. But you are starting over. You are restarting. And the hope is that Alex Golish can get you back to this point very quickly and then build on that and make it even better.
And the head coach, in his introductory press conference, was asked about how does his team win fourth quarter games. And he said it's a mindset. He said that you don't necessarily go out and you just prepare for the fourth quarter on the day of a game or through quarters 1-3. But it went back to it's how you eat, it's how you sleep, it's how you hydrate. You do the little things, and then you put yourselves in perspective or you put yourself in position to go and you make those plays, and if you do the little things right, you get the job done.
Breaking news on our way out. We got to take our final break. Breaking news from Auburn football.
Save
quote,
it.
Quote from Alex Golish. Nah, I won't do that to our people. Statement from Auburn football head coach Alex Golish. Quote, choosing to keep DJ on our staff was an easy call. Our relationship goes back more than 20 years to our roots in Ohio. We have worked with some of the same men, and we've competed against each other in this great league. We are fortunate to retain one of the top defensive minds in college football here on the Plains. He's an elite leader, incredible father and husband, and will be a phenomenal leader on the defensive side of the ball. We have great respect for each other. Time to go to work.
Boom.
Boom. DJ Durkin, it will be retained as Auburn's defensive coordinator. We talk about that and wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Well, we're back and we're out.
It's all good. You don't need to hear any more news.
No, you got it. We broke it. And the drive's going to talk about it coming up. DJ Durkin has been retained. He will remain as Auburn's defensive coordinator. And Alex Golish, you are 1-0, sir. First decision. You have won. Congratulations. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. The drive is coming up. Bill Cameron, Coach Don Dunn, they're going to talk about it as well. Man, that's relieving. That is such big news for Auburn. We talk more about that tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.